What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
Well, it's none of your business. When I was growing up on the news station in the morning, the news anchor would tell the kids what to wear. They would have a segment called What to Wear to the Bus Stop. And it turned America into romper room is what it did. But I remember this. But it was a feeling that this news station was actually acting like my mother. It was telling me what to wear to the bus stop. If it was going to be drizzly outside or a little rain or a shower, then they would suggest that you wear a yellow plastic raincoat. And it had to be yellow. And I was thinking, how specific are these news people supposed to be telling children what to wear to the bus stop? And why are they telling the children this? As if the children get a cup of coffee, a newspaper, and look at the news. These are six-year-old kids. And why is a news station telling people how to dress? Couldn't this get out of hand? Kids, today at the bus stop, don't wear any pants. Or dress like you're hooking. I mean, it can get pretty bad, you know? But that's what I remember as a child, the news station telling me how to dress. And judging by how some of these news anchors dressed, apparently no one was telling them how to dress because that was embarrassing. Probably the greatest invention of all time, clothing-wise, is the sweater. Now, sheep don't really care for that too much. Sheep are really sick of being shaved all the time, so you can be comfortable. Sweaters are amazing. They're halfway between a coat and not a coat. I think they were invented for people that couldn't make their minds up just how warm they wanted to be. Sweaters are transient pieces of clothing. You don't wear them all day necessarily. They're things that you dress in, you put on, but chances are they're going to come off really quickly. How many times have you been cold, you put a sweater on, and within 10 minutes, you take the sweater off and saying, I'm really hot. It's the sweater, it's the sweaters that are driving you crazy. The sweaters are playing with you, man. They look so comfortable. You put them on, and then they're too hot. There's no thermostat knob on the sweater. So all day you're putting the sweater on, you're taking the sweater off. You're putting the sweater on, you're taking the sweater off. Sweaters just get thrown on chairs. Have you noticed that? Most articles of clothing get hung up if you're halfway neat about your appearance and your room. Sweaters, no. Sweaters get thrown on a chair. Sweaters get tossed around. Well, that's your fault, sweater. And by the way, who came up with the name for that article of clothing? Sweater? That means that this article of clothing makes you sweat. That's what sweater means. Sweat. S-W-E-A-T. I don't have to spell it out for you, do I? A sweater is something that makes you sweat. You are a sweater. You sweat all the time. Hey, Ron, you're sweating. Yes, I am. I'm a sweater. So they invent this article of clothing that apparently makes you sweat. I don't think I need that. So you take it off. Then you put it on. Then you take it off. As a matter of fact, I remember on this show, this news show, telling kids how to dress in the morning, if it was cold out, they would remind the kids to wear a sweater. Well, you're reminding the kids to put on something that they're probably going to be taking off. Did you watch a show called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? What Mr. Rogers did, this was a children's show. It was on in the 60s, 70s, that kind of thing. Mr. Rogers would get home from work. Lord knows where this guy worked. It was a factory somewhere. Didn't look like this guy worked at all. And he would get home, open up the hall closet door right near his front door, take off his suit jacket, of which we still don't know what he did for a living, apparently wore her suit jacket. He would take a hanger out of the closet and very, very neatly, very carefully put that that jacket onto the hanger, perfectly centered, hang it up. Then he grabbed for another hanger in the coat closet, which had a sweater hanging from it. The same damn sweater for 30 years. And he'd take this sweater, he'd put the empty hanger back in the closet. Of course, you always return your empty hangers to the closet. And he'd take the sweater and he'd put it on, and then all of a sudden, now he's comfortable. I don't know. The sweater, I have no idea how that worked. The sweater apparently was a symbol for comfort. I think sweaters are just an odd invention. I just think they're weird. There are three rules of life that I never stray from. They are hard and fast in my psyche. I never turn my back on these three rules that I have set for myself. Ever. Without these rules, there is no existence. What are these three rules? Well, for the life of me, I can't remember them right now.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
But I know there's three. There's three of them.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
The first one is, I can't remember.
Whatever.
God, what are those three rules?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
What are the rules? I know the second rule. No, that's not it. Oh, man!
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
I remember now. The first rule is always check your face. That's a rule of life. Check your face every once in a while. Do you ever brush your teeth? That's not the end of the sentence. Did you ever brush your teeth in your bathroom and you're looking in the mirror and there's like a red spot on your forehead and you say to yourself, oh my God, I didn't have that yesterday. I don't think. Check your face every once in a while. Rule number two, make sure that your zipper is closed on your pants. Now, women don't have to worry about this because they usually don't have the zipper pant thing going on. But I'm a guy and I wear regular pants. And every once in a while, and it's not because I'm senile or anything, I don't think, as far as I remember. Sometimes I'll get home at the end of the day and I will go to the bathroom to take a pee. And lo and behold, my fly's already down. The first thing I say to myself, did I lower my zipper in anticipation of going to the bathroom on the way up the stairs? No, that would have taken place a few seconds ago. No. Oh my God, I went through the entire day with my zipper down. That's panic. That is panic. Then in your mind, you try to trace back everything you did during the day and all the people you ran into. Oh no, oh no, I went to that meeting with all those people and my fly was down. Oh no, oh no. Or did I go to the bathroom before or after that and forget to zip it up? I can't remember. Where was I? Why were people looking at me and their eyes were not in my face? Why were they looking? Oh my God, my zipper was... It's a horrible, I've been in therapy for 20 years because my zipper was down 22 years ago. It's a horrible feel. It's like when you go to the bathroom and you take a big dump in somebody else's bathroom, you know, and you know it's their house, not yours, and you flush a toilet and it doesn't go down, it starts coming up, and it's just about to hit the top rim and overflow, and it's that feeling, they go, oh, no, I'm watching catastrophe right before my eyes come to light. It's that same sinking feeling of desperation, and you can't do anything about it at all. That's number two. Number three is, if I remember properly, the third rule that I always live by is always make very, very sure that your cell phone is somewhere nearby. Oh my God, if the cell phone is not nearby, we are to perish from the earth. What a panic feeling. Have you ever left your house without your cell phone? No, Ron, me? Leave my house without my cell phone? I might as well leave without my shoes. Why no? And you're too far away from the house to turn around, or are you? That cell phone is the lifeline. But you know what? I was alive long enough before they had the cell phones, and I was just fine. You don't know what you miss until you have it. And that is rule number three. Now, I'm very proud of myself right now. I've said this before on the program for the past 2, 3, 4 weeks. I have not been on Facebook at all for 6 weeks to 2 months. I don't know which it is, and it doesn't matter. It's been a long time. And do you know what? I'm perfectly fine. As a matter of fact, I think I feel better than I did when I was on Facebook for the reason I don't have to get upset or knowledgeable about your problems. I don't. You can go fund yourself as far as I'm concerned. I don't have to feel guilty about not funding somebody's something. I don't have to hear about their sad stories and their horrible things that have happened in their lives or how wonderful their tuna fish sandwich was yesterday afternoon for lunch or delve into the deepest thoughts of people who I don't even know or listen to people's unbridled anger about something horrible that I truly don't care about. Or to watch these little Facebook ads floating up all over the place, looking like they're a post from one of my friends, but they're not. It's someone paying an ad to sell me something or to sway me in a certain direction, either politically or materially. I don't have to deal with that. And you know what? Didn't affect me. Didn't change my life. Actually made it better. Facebook stock is going down because since this political thing with Cambridge Analytical, some people, such as myself, have said, no, sorry, I'm done. Took out all my personal information, done, I'm done. You don't need to know that stuff. Now I do a radio show, sure, and I spout my opinion, sure, but I do it in the name of entertainment. Hopefully it puts a little smile on your face, or a little twinkle in your eye, or a little trickle in your pants. I really don't know what it does for you. But I get it. But don't go to my Facebook page, because I don't have one. I do, but I abandoned it. It's like the cellar door that hasn't opened in 10 years. There's no dead body down there, but there's plenty of cobwebs. Facebook, go fund yourself. Done. Finished. Done. Not into it, man. Did the same thing, man. I take a stand. Did the same thing with a Rhode Island television station. WJAR or MUR or whatever the hell it is. I don't know what the call letters are. It's Channel 10. It's an NBC affiliate. It's Channel 10 out of Rhode Island, out of Providence. One of the morning anchors, Frank something. I know his first name is Frank because he's got letters on his white coffee cup from like 1940 or something. It's not, it's just like pasted on glued letters. It says Frank. How cheesy can you get with your coffee mug? So I know the guy's name is Frank. It's chubby little anchor. And seemed like a really nice guy. And I never listened to the news on that channel, really. But Channel 10 out of Providence, NBC affiliate. They are a Sinclair-owned television station. He read the prepared statement, making it look like he was saying it. From management and ownership of Sinclair, they made all their 200 stations recite this thing as propaganda to show that everything else is fake news, but their station is not. Sinclair stations are not. When indeed, it's scripted. And I wrote into that station and I said, I shall no longer be watching your news station because you participated in scripted information that was targeted by all your stations to propagandize, to become state-run media, where you force your news organizations of these little local stations, you force them to read something. And if they don't, probably they'll be fired. So that's state-run communist stuff. Communist, I don't know if that's the right word. Anyway, that pissed me off. So I sent that email to them, and I let them know that I shall no longer be watching their station accordingly. You got to take a stand sometimes, man. The power that you have is immense. All you've got to do is let somebody know about that. If something bothers you, don't buy the product. If there's a television station you don't like, let them know, I'm not watching your station. And your advertisers should know, I'm not watching their commercials anymore accordingly. That's when things start to move. That's democracy. That's where the people run things, not the state and not the government, and not autocratic businesses such as Sinclair Media that is trying to pass on a conservative message by state-run pressure. It's very interesting that this Lion Trump guy, he was going to drain the swamp. The swamp's up to his forehead now. He didn't drain it. He filled it. All right. That's enough. I'm pontificating. That's not my point here. I'm supposed to be doing a comedy show, and I'm not supposed to be pontificating, and I do apologize for that. So make believe I never said anything. All right, let's go to a commercial.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kind of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Step right up.
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks. Tough kids, sissy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs. Armor hot dogs. The dogs kids eat day or night.
Sad kids, funny kids, kids who fly a kite. Big kids, little kids, kids who like to fight.
Armor hot dogs.
The dogs kids love to fight.
When man bites dog, that's news, they say. But when kids bite dogs, they yell,
hooray for hot dogs. Armor hot dogs. The dogs kids love to fight.
It's becoming hot dog season. It's getting closer. When it gets warm outside, Ron wants his hot dog. It's something that I would never eat otherwise. If you told me what's inside of a hot dog, I'd probably throw up in your face, so that's not good. But I'm telling you something. Love my hot dogs, man. On that bun. Man, I'll eat 10 of those things. But not a good idea. According to my doctor, that's not a good idea. So today, toward the end of the show, we're going to speak to a doctor who is going to tell us about triglycerides. And I don't know if you know what those dirty little things are inside your body called triglycerides, but they're like cholesterol. You got to get those babies down to a safe level. Triglycerides are things that are manufactured by your body. Your body does a lot of manufacturing, by the way. It's a lot of manufacturing going on inside your body right now. They're making triglycerides and cholesterol and glucose. It's really busy in there. Little elves making all that shit. Hot dogs are bad, but I love them. I just love. You can't go to a park and not have a hot dog. If there's a hot dog vendor, you've got to go to the vendor. Go toward the light. Go toward the meat. Meat? I don't even know if that's meat. I have no idea what that stuff really is. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's pork lips, beef balls. I don't know what the hell that thing is. It's just tasty. It's full of sodium, and it's full of crap shoved into an intestine. You're eating crap shoved into an intestine, and you put mustard on it, and you're good. Wow, what are we doing? But so tasty. It's just so good. Speaking of President Trump, which I wasn't just then, he's imposed tariffs on China and many other countries. Now he's targeting China. He's targeting a 25% tariff is being proposed, which would go into effect in May should this go through, and this is what the president wants to do. China immediately retaliates immediately on the proposal, saying, well, if you do the 25% tariff, we'll do a tariff on our stuff to you. What would that mean? Price of automobiles go up. Price of flat screen TVs go up. Price of just about everything would be affected. A 25% tariff, that's heavy crap. I don't know what Trump's doing here, but here's the theory that I think he's going by, because he's supposedly this masterful economic genius who's gone bankrupt 4 times. The genius, apparently, he's figuring that China's going to suffer, the United States is going to suffer, and then Trump's going to call the China guy and say, look, this isn't working out. Let's just drop all tariffs. No tariffs on you, no tariffs on us, no tariffs. What do you say? And if China's stupid, they'll say, okay. And then that'll work. Then Trump's plan worked. But here's the problem, Don. Other people aren't as stupid as you think they are, or as stupid as you are. China would only say, well, then let's just go back to the way it was. And that wouldn't be any good. Then all this was for naught, and the stock markets went down, and people paid more money for nothing. The idea is for China to say, all right, no more tariffs at all. All right, United States, no more tariffs at all. But that ain't going to happen. Just saying. I'm just saying. I just want you to keep up on stuff that's going on around you. You know, half the time when I talk to people about things that are happening, their response is, oh, really? I didn't know that. You really should know that. You should know what's going on, because there's a lot of stuff going on. And whether you agree with his policies or not, the guy in the White House is one angry fuck. He's not kidding around. He's an angry man. You cross him, disagree with him, say something bad about him, he'll publicly go out and get you. The President of the United States is not supposed to stand up and diss a huge company like Amazon, a company that has created more jobs than just about every other company in this country within the past recent history. And people love Amazon. Don't diss that company just because the owner also owns the Washington Post and you don't like the Washington Post, what they say about you. I mean, Don, you got to stop this. You've got to stop this. Don. Anyway, look, this is one show where people are not told what copy to read. You can be sure of that.
This is your source for all the news that matters. Hard-hitting, unbiased, investigative journalism, ready to break...
Sorry, John, that's the wrong copy.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, no, it's not right. Is it under the...
Under the...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's this other sheet. That makes so much more sense. Okay.
Okay, let's go again.
You're listening to a podcast that has Ron Van Dam on it. It's the Ron Van Dam Podcast on New England Broadcasting.
We do this every single weekday, by the way, in case you didn't know that, so please join us accordingly, or me, I guess. We're heard all over the place on the SoundCloud, on the Podbean Network, where you can hear over 1,000 episodes at any given time. They're all there on the Podbean Network. Also, we can be found on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the Amazon Alexa thing, and many other places, of which I don't have the list. But, you know, whatever. Want to reach me for any reason, you can email me at Ron Van Dam Show, RONVANDAM Show, at gmail.com. If you've written a book, have something interesting to say, and an expert on something, a doctore, or whatever, let us know. Maybe we'll pop you on the show. You never know. Probably not, but you don't know. You don't know. You have no idea. All right, triglycerides, ladies and gentlemen. I told you we were going to do this. This is important. I want you to live for a long time, because if you get sick, I lose a listener, and that doesn't work for me.
Morning, Ron.
Hi, Dr. Toth. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Dr. Peter Toth joins us. He's Director of Preventive Cardiology at the CGH Medical Center, Professor of Clinical Family and Community Medicine. I could go on and on. You've done a lot of stuff. Let's just leave it at that. Okay. And you have a lot of letters after your name, Peter.
Oh,
okay. Anyway, we're talking about cholesterol and cardiology and triglycerides, all of which probably most of my listeners have some form of that in their medical history. Extremely common these days to be concerned about cholesterol and triglycerides, I would assume.
Yes. We were never meant to have the cholesterol and triglyceride levels we currently have. Our progress as humanity has outstripped where evolution meant us to be, but be that as it may,
yes,
it is our job to deal with this, and we can. And so everyone is aware that the so-called bad cholesterol, the LDL, drives heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
But our research has shown recently, and the research of many others around the world, that in fact the blood fats, the triglycerides, are also very important in this process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being increasingly recognized even at the national level, because today is National Triglycerides Day, which is meant to shine some light on this very, very important issue.
What's the difference between triglycerides and cholesterol?
Yeah. So cholesterol is a molecule that is carried in your blood on molecules called lipoproteins, and the cholesterol is used to form steroid hormones. It plays many roles in your intermediary metabolism, but it is not a substrate for energy. So you don't break cholesterol down in your tissues and burn it as fuel. The triglycerides are a critical fuel source. So We know that blood sugar is a critical fuel source for all of our cells, but so are triglycerides, and this is why it's critical that we have triglyceride in our blood.
Mm-hmm.
But as in diabetics, when blood sugar is too high, too much of a good thing is bad, and it's the same story for the triglycerides.
Okay. That's the weird news. The good news is that with our medical technology, we do have medications that can actually combat these concerns. I myself had very high triglycerides about a decade ago, went on medication, and totally under control back in the normal range, and mine were like really pretty high. So
yeah.
It works.
And there are three things, however, that I want your listeners to know. Number one, if your triglycerides are high, it means that there's something wrong in your underlying metabolism.
Uh-huh.
You may have a genetic disorder, or you have an underlying metabolic disorder,
mm-hmm.
like you're pre-diabetic, or your thyroid is out of whack,
mm-hmm.
or your diet is lousy.
Mm-hmm.
And the second important point here is that triglycerides can be extraordinarily responsive to lifestyle modification,
yes.
daily exercise,
yes.
improving your diet, avoiding saturated and trans fats,
yep.
avoiding processed food, very practical.
Mm-hmm.
And then third, if that doesn't work, then yes, medication is available. But certainly I think most patients would like to be able to do it by controlling the process and engaging in that lifestyle modification.
Well, I think the reason that mine subsided so quickly and so much back to normal is because I combined those two things. It was the medication plus changing my lifestyle and my eating habits, and it wasn't long before that was, I would say, even I'll use the term corrected. I'm no longer on the medications, and kind of cool.
So you're a success story.
I'm the one.
You're an example. You're an example of what I just said, that if you engage in reasonable lifestyle modification, you can get control of this problem.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about heart attacks, which is like people don't like to talk about this, but we try to avoid this at all costs because sometimes they can occur just out of nowhere, and you don't know like from 1 second to the next where you're going to be. I assume that's the reason to stay in constant contact with your physician and make plenty of visits so you can do blood test panels, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and Ron, you hit it right in the bullseye, because a third of all first-time heart attacks are fatal, meaning no second chance, and that is unnecessary. This is why it's extremely important to get in, just get checked out, get screened for your triglycerides, your blood pressure. Make sure you're not pre-diabetic or diabetic. If you smoke, stop.
Yeah.
I mean, there are lots of things that your physician or your healthcare provider can guide you through. But the triglycerides, let me give you some numbers from our research.
Okay.
So we looked at about 46,000 patients,
mm-hmm.
all of whom were already on a statin, so a cholesterol-lowering medication.
Yep.
And they were all high risk.
Uh-huh.
They were either diabetic or had established heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
And even split between men and women. So this study is representative for both genders. And if your triglycerides were over 150 compared to less than 150,
uh-huh.
your risk of heart attack increased 32%, stroke 14%, the need for a bypass surgery or a stent almost 50%.
Wow.
And your risk of heart failure went up 20%.
Uh-huh.
Your healthcare costs were higher, and the odds of you requiring hospitalization were also higher. None of these numbers are good, and hence, it does underline the need to get screened, and if you've got a problem, address it, take control of it, take charge, work with your healthcare provider, get it done.
No question about it. I'm going to take a guess, and I'm just guessing here, I must admit. I'm going to guess that people who are over the age of 50, that over 50% of them have some type of concern in the area in which you speak, with high blood pressure, prediabetes, cholesterol, triglycerides. I'd say half the population of the United States has got to be in there.
Oh, why don't you try 70 to 80%?
Get out! Are you serious?
I'm absolutely serious.
Oh my
Once
God.
You're over 50? Absolutely.
Oh my God.
And age becomes the most critical predictor of risk. But of course, blood pressure, smoking, cholesterol, your handling of glucose,
uh-huh.
whether you're pre-diabetic, diabetic,
uh-huh.
obesity, the list is long. But yeah, 70 to 80% of people older than 50, that includes, you know, 50 to 100.
Wow.
So yeah, the aging process takes its toll.
Yeah, it does.
And we know that there is a clear rise in blood pressure as a function of aging. We know that blood vessels age and accrue disease.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and as people get older, on average, they become a bit more affluent, and they live a better, a better, more calorie-rich life.
It can happen. But, you know, I remember as a kid, my neighbors were cooking in lard every day, and there were no such things as lean meats back then.
Right.
So
People ate the fat, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was, you know, this has been going on for generations, I suppose, really, but not everybody did anything about it because we didn't know what to do about it. It was just something. Now we can do things about it.
That's also why the average lifespan keeps increasing.
Yeah, yeah.
However, cautionary note, and that is in 2016, the downward trend since 1980 for cardiovascular disease actually increased.
Yeah, that's because of fried chicken. Anyway.
Well, yeah, it's also because of the epidemic of obesity, diabetes,
that too.
Hypertension, and hyperlipidemia.
Yeah.
But, you know, we need to get checked out and get it taken care of.
Well, that's what it's about. Stay on top of it. How do we get more information?
Oh, the American Heart Association website is probably the best. And it has recipes, it has all kinds of informational brochures on the various risk factors for heart disease.
Great.
And then the National Lipid Association also has a wonderful website for patients so they can better understand each component of their lipid profile.
Perfect. Dr. Toth, we're running out of time. You've been a wealth of information, and thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Ron. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You've been very patient. I'm going to give you a lollipop. I have no way of getting it to you, so it'll be like a virtual lollipop, and you'll virtually lick it, and then you'll virtually get a stomach ache and blame me for it virtually. So let's not even do that. Thank you so much. I'll be back again tomorrow. Join me. Until then, I wish you peace.